Welcome to another episode of the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast. I'm Brittany Nicole. I'm a career and life coach, and it's literally my job to help people reach their goals. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about the formula for confidence. I taught an IG Live class where I broke down confidence into itty bitty tiny little baby pieces, because sometimes we look at confidence as this obscure, difficult to acquire thing. And I actually think confidence, like any other skill, can be taught and can be learned. So that's what I'm going to be covering in this episode. So this topic I broke down by really explaining on an atomic level what self-confidence is, the two types of confidence, how to build confidence from scratch, and then also things that erode confidence. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. Today, I am talking about one of my favorite topics, which is confidence, which is building confidence and how to do that. And I am going to go in, I think, kind of a sequential discussion around this. So the topic is how to build self-confidence, which I am going to define that as a whole, at self-confidence as a whole, by defining first the self and then confidence. And then we'll talk about how to actually build confidence from scratch. I want to say, okay, so let's start. What is the self is the first question. We have to define what self is to even be able to understand what self-confidence is, right? But think about that, and you can say this in the chat if you want to, or you can just reflect on this to yourself. What is a self? Like, it's kind of hard when you think about it to describe and explain what a self is while also being a self. It's like trying to describe how water tastes while you're drinking it. It's kind of an abstract concept. So when I think of the self, when I think of myself, what I do is I visualize it as something. I think of the self as like a gift that you were given, like maybe a plant or something, maybe a plant that you were given. And your job is to take care of this plant self. Your job is to care for this plant self. Your job is to nurture this plant self. And I think it's easier to visualize the self as something like outside of you, something objective to you, because then mentally you can be in relationship with it. Otherwise, if the self is like this abstract, airy-fairy concept and you can't really grasp it, at least for me, because I'm a very visual learner, visualizing the self as something material can allow you to have a better relationship with it. So I want you to hold on to that illustration of the self as like a plant that it is your responsibility to take care of, because I'll be referencing that later on again. So we're defining self-confidence for those who've just joined. We have defined the self. Now we're going to define confidence. So confidence is also something I think that is hard to describe. And I like to think of it in two veins. You have overall confidence and you have domain specific confidence. So let's talk about what overall confidence is. And this is a definition that I've created based on my understanding, based on my experience, based on the way that I like to work with people. So I'm going to read this definition and then I'll break it down. Overall confidence is a level of self-trust that allows you to believe your efforts will lead to a positive outcome most of the time. So I'm going to say that again. Overall trust is having a level of self-confidence. That means most of the time you believe that your efforts are going to work for you. Most of the time you believe that things are going to work out well for you, because overall you trust yourself in multiple domains. When I think of somebody who has overall confidence, I think of Jay-Z. Jay-Z is somebody that we now think of as a mogul, even though he started from nothing. This is somebody who has at least commercial success in multiple domains, in music, in business, in the entertainment industry at large. We can say that Jay-Z has had overall success in multiple areas, and that he shows some confidence now in being able to take risks in different domains. But that's not the only reason why I think of him as somebody who has what I would consider overall confidence. He, in addition to being very successful, had a very, very public failure in his marriage to the most influential, most powerful, most like beloved woman in the world. He failed as a husband, and it was very public, and a very enjoyable album came out of that. But he took that failure and he owned it. And so to me, when we're thinking about what confidence is in an overall like broad point of view, from a broad perspective, having overall confidence really means having a very healthy relationship with failure. And that is something that comes over time. That's something that you have tried many things, you have succeeded at many things, you have failed at many things, and you have refined that process over and over again. So here's the thing. Overall confidence is not something that you are born with. You are not gifted overall confidence. You can't just have it. You don't build overall confidence by working on overall confidence. So this is why I like to define confidence as overall confidence and then domain-specific confidence. Because when you work on domain-specific confidence, you work your way up to overall confidence. So let's talk about what domain-specific confidence actually is. And I'm going to read a definition that I have for that. Again, this is my definition. This is how I perceive confidence. You're not going to find this in a dictionary. I made it up. So domain confidence is a level of self-trust within a specific area that allows you to believe your efforts will lead to a positive outcome most of the time. So let's contrast that with overall confidence for a second. Overall confidence is, I have confidence in these multiple areas in my life. And because I have confidence in these multiple areas in my life, I generally feel confident about life as a whole. Domain confidence is, I'm confident in this specific area. I'm really good at this specific thing. And I know that in this specific area, most of what I do is going to work. Most of what I do is going to be successful. I'm usually going to have a good outcome in this area. So when I think of somebody who has domain confidence, actually, I think of Beyonce. And not that Beyonce doesn't have overall confidence as well, but let me illustrate. So Beyonce is obviously one of the greatest entertainers, like, period, in the world. Just period, hands down. You're not touching Beyonce when it comes to entertainment, when it comes to theatrics, when it comes to tours and performance and her music. And her musical career has spanned for a very, very long time. She is excellent, entertaining, musically. Acting? Oh, no. That's not your girl's strong suit. Beyonce is not an actor. Beyonce is not a great actress. I love her. I love, anybody who knows me knows how I feel about Beyonce, but I have to be honest, she's not a great actress. And so when you look at her career doesn't lean toward acting. It doesn't lean toward public speaking. It's very well known and very well documented that that's not her skill. But musically, she got it. And because she is so confident in this musical form of entertainment, over her career, she's been able to take a lot of risks by doing different genres. She had an album where she was singing completely in Spanish as a Black woman. That takes confidence. She had a house album when that was not something that she had ever done prior. And now she is promoting a country album as a pop star, which also takes confidence. So when you have domain confidence, that means that this is one specific area where you feel really good, so much so that you can take risks and feel like this is probably still gonna work out for me. Okay, so overall confidence is here. Domain confidence is here. You build your domain confidence in different domains, and that allows you to get to overall confidence. Why does this matter? The reason that I want to clarify this is because I think we make a very big mistake when we evaluate ourselves, when we talk to ourselves, when we say, I don't feel confident, or I'm insecure, or you feel uncertain about yourself. In what is the question? Do you feel insecure overall, or do you feel insecure in this specific area? And is there something that you can do about this specific area that will help you to feel less insecure? When you're thinking about building confidence, it requires an evaluation of self first, of like, what does confidence even look like to you? Do you need to be confident in this area? I hadn't planned on saying this, but this is popping in my head right now. I don't like to cook. I don't. And for the longest time, I felt like I was not a good woman because I don't enjoy cooking. And so I held myself to this standard of, you know what? If I'm going to be feminine, then I need to be a good cook. Even though I hate it, and even though it's not something that's fun for me, until I decided, you know what? I don't need to be a good cook. I just need to eat. I can make simple meals that are nutritious and fulfilling. And yeah, they taste good, but they're basic. They're basic. I don't need to be an excellent cook. I need to survive. What I need to be is excellent at my job. What I need to be is an excellent friend. What I need to be is an excellent teacher and an excellent writer. So those are the things that I decide. That's what I'm going to work on my confidence in. I don't care about being confident as a cook. I don't care. I let that go. So I'm saying all of that to say, if you feel, oh, I don't have confidence, or, oh, I'm insecure. Are you really insecure overall? Or is it just something that you don't feel comfortable or confident in yourself about? And one, does that matter? Does it matter very much to your life? Would that push your life forward a lot to develop the skills to get good at that? Or could you focus on something that actually maybe you're better at, maybe is more enjoyable for you, and build a skill in that? And maybe that's the thing that pushes you to feeling more overall confident in yourself. So that's that. Let's talk about the process of actually building confidence from scratch in more detail. So for those who have just joined, hello, let me just recap real quick. We are talking about confidence from two levels, overall confidence and domain confidence. Overall confidence is like, I feel like I'm pretty good at most things in my life and most things are going to turn out well for me. Domain confidence is I feel pretty good about maybe one thing, maybe two things. And in those two areas of my life, I'm great. Otherwise, I don't know. Okay. So the process of building confidence that I'm talking about is working on your domain confidence to build up to your overall confidence. Okay. That's the recap. Now, here is why mastering a specific domain, in my opinion, actually is more helpful than trying to master everything at one time. First of all, you ain't got time. You don't have time to be good at everything. Let's just be realistic. There's a book, I can't remember the name of the book right now, but in this book, he talks about how it takes at least 20 hours to develop a skill well enough to be considered competent at it. Not a master, but like competent. So I think one question is like, are you willing to spend 20 hours working on this thing to get decent, to get competent at it? If not, then maybe it's not even something that you need to work on. But if you do decide that there's a specific area or a specific thing in your life that you want to work on, I think having that mindset of like, I need to commit at least 20 hours to this will help you to build that confidence. But the other thing is committing to that process means developing a healthy relationship with failure. And that's really what it's about. Practicing anything means you're going to suck at first. And you go through the feedback loop of being terrible, getting a little bit better, refining your process. And you learn by developing your specific domain level confidence, even though let's say it's guitar. Okay. You start playing guitar, you're terrible. You can't hold the keyboard, You can't hold the neck right. You can't get the strings and the chords right. It's awful. You continue for a little while and you get better. And then you can, once you get better, then you can look back and say, oh, wow, I improved on this. I got better at this. I used to not be able to do this, but I can do this now. While that works on your guitar skill, you're also teaching yourself a bigger lesson, which is that failure is not the worst thing in the world. Failure is not going to kill you. It's actually part of the learning process. And sometimes failure has to happen in order for you to learn. Sometimes failure is the best teacher Unfortunately, we be hard-headed in these streets. So sometimes failure is a great teacher for you to refine whatever it is that you're working on. And honestly, in any goal or anything that you're working toward, expect yourself to fail. Like, expect yourself to make mistakes and just learn to, actually, learn to be excited about it. Like, okay, this was a flop. What can I do better? Like, how can I take this information, this flop data, and refine my process for the next time? So to summarize, specific, domain-specific confidence is helpful because, yes, you build the skill that you're trying to working on, but you help become less afraid of failing because you realize that failing is a part of the learning process. And it just is. It just is. We talked about this a little bit already, but you have to decide what you want to be confident in and why. Let's say it's like your appearance. You want to be perceived as more attractive. Well, why is that? Why is that? You have to really understand the reason. Is it because you're dating now and you want to put yourself on the market? You're looking for a partner. You can't just pick a goal out the sky or pick a reason out the sky. Like, you've got to really connect in your soul to why is this important to you. And that why is what keeps you going during the failure process, during the process when it sucks, during the process when you're embarrassed, during the process when you don't feel good about yourself. You have to remember why this is important. You have to clarify to yourself why it's important for you to feel confident in this and what it's going to unlock in your life once you become confident at this thing. Okay, so then we have what I call the confidence formula. I wish that Instagram allowed me to make like a visual like demonstration of this, because I feel like it's going to be a little bit hard to grasp just the words that I'm saying when I say this formula. Maybe I'll make a video and put it in my Level Up library for you to resource. But anyway, this is what I call the confidence formula. And it goes like this. Confidence in X equals practice plus feedback times persistence. I like that as a model because it is very actionable. It tells you exactly what you need to do. You need to practice, you need to get feedback, and you need to do that consistently. So let's use boundaries for an example, but honestly, this applies to literally anything that you feel insecure about that you want to develop. And let me say this too. My perspective is that anything can be a skill. Like, usually when we think of skills, we think of like Excel or programming or public speaking. But being in relationships with people is a skill. Setting boundaries is a skill. Being a beginner is a skill. Practicing is a skill. You can be good at practicing. You can develop a skill for being good at starting things. So first of all, I think let's sit in that. Like, anything is a skill. And once you figure out what skill is needed in order for you to develop confidence, then you practice that. So I'm going to use boundaries as an example because this is something that we don't typically think of as a skill, but it is. So let's say you might be like myself, where you struggle with people pleasing and perfectionism and wanting to be liked, wanting to be approved of. So that means that you're not very good at setting boundaries, are you? So that's a skill that you can practice and develop and become better at. And what that looks like, what practicing being a beginner at setting boundaries might be, I go through the drive-thru and they give me the wrong order. And instead of just accepting it because I don't want to make a fuss, I go back through the drive-thru and I'm like, hey, actually, this is wrong. And this doesn't sound like that big of a deal. But if this is a weakness, this is a weak point for you, that might feel terrifying. So start small. Start with something that's uncomfortable, but not so uncomfortable that it's going to take you out, that you don't want to ever do it again. And I think that's a mistake that we make often too. When we decide, I have this goal, I want to accomplish this thing, We want to go for the moon. When we like we're barely walking, we're crawling. You can't fly to the moon yet. You can't even walk. So start small with something. If it's setting boundaries, maybe it's declining an invitation via text message. So you practice setting your boundaries. You do that. What's going to happen in the process of practicing is you're inevitably going to get feedback. And when I say feedback, I specifically mean internal feedback and external feedback. So internal feedback is your own thoughts, your own feelings, the way your body is reacting to it. That is data. I'm a data analyst, so everything to me is data, but yes, I digress. That's data. So if you set boundaries and you say you're at the drive-thru and you're like, this order is wrong. And they're like, oh my God, miss, I'm so sorry. Here's the correct order and here's an extra thing because we got it wrong. What's the feedback then? The feedback is, oh, I set a boundary and it went well and I actually got this extra thing. Maybe this is not going to kill me. That can empower you to do it again next time. Now, everything is not always going to turn out peachy keen. You have to know that too, that part of the getting feedback is sometimes that feedback is going to be negative. Maybe you set a boundary and let's go back to the drive-thru thing. You set a boundary and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. We gave you your order, blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't turn out so well as far as the interchange, but you still get your order. You still get what you needed. That is still feedback. That is, oh, I asserted myself. I defended myself. I stood up for myself and it worked. So go into this knowing that part of practicing is letting it suck, letting it be uncomfortable, maybe even failing sometimes, getting that feedback, that internal feedback from yourself, whether the situation turns out positively or negatively, you need that. Now that's internal feedback. You also need external feedback, which is if you're starting to practice setting boundaries, are people respecting your boundaries? If yes, that's like, okay, what I'm doing is good. I guess this works. I guess this is the way that I should start to have conversations and assert myself in these situations. And if the feedback that you're getting is people are not respecting your boundaries, well, then it's time to evaluate and refine. Maybe you need to change your tone of voice. Maybe you need to change your body language. Maybe you need to change the entire dynamic of the relationship with the people who are not respecting your boundaries. It is important. Hold on one second. My iPad just went to a screen that I was not expecting. There we go. Okay, so yes, getting the external feedback, whether it's good or bad, is also important. Getting the internal feedback, whether it's good or bad, is important. That's a part of the process. So let me just recap real quick. The confidence formula. Confidence in X is practice plus feedback times persistence, which means persistently practicing, which means persistently getting feedback and refining that process with the feedback that you get from yourself and the feedback that you get from others. So finally, the last thing that we're going to talk about as an ingredient to building confidence is thinking about the things that erode self-confidence. So for you guys that are joining a little bit later, earlier in the conversation, I talked about what the self is. And actually, since you're here now, I'm going to re-ask this question because I'm curious to what your thoughts are. When you think about a self, you try to define what a self is. What is that? Like, how would you, if you had to explain to somebody, what is a self? How would you define it? You can put it in the chat. I'm going to keep talking, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. So earlier I explained my concept of the self, which is a little weird. You're not going to find the definition in the dictionary, but I like to think of myself as a thing outside of me. I actually think of myself as a plant. Myself is a plant made of my body and my mind. And when I think of self-care, I think of taking care of that plant. I think of watering that plant. I think of protecting that plant. And I do that because I am a self and it's hard to observe being a self while being a self. But if I visualize myself as something that I can be in relationship with, I can understand how to care for it a little bit better. That was my explanation of the self as a plant. So going back to that, we're talking about things that erode self-confidence. So what are some things that would like detract from a plant's growth? You don't have water, you don't have sunlight, it's not in a healthy, nurturing environment. And it's literally the same for a human being self-plant. If you neglect yourself, and if you're not in an environment that is conducive to growth, it's going to be difficult to develop this thing. So you need to evaluate your internal environment, which is your thoughts, the things that you tell yourself over and over again, the feelings that you decide to have or you decide to control or you decide to suppress, and your external environment, where you physically are, the people that you're in relationship with, the spaces that you're in relationship with. So some things to consider. Do you compare yourself to others? If you are comparing yourself to others in a way that's not constructive, because I think that there is a constructive way to compare yourself, which is like, okay, they're doing this and this works. Let me try this and see if it works for me. An unconstructive way of comparing yourself is like, oh, she has this thing and I want it and it's not fair and I'll never have it because she's so much better than me and blah, blah, blah. That's not going to help you build confidence. That is just a waste of energy. It's a completely useless thought. It does nothing to help you produce fruit. So we are in a habit of doing that sometimes. And part of building confidence, other than building the confidence itself, is going to be to stop doing the things that are deleterious to confidence. One of them is comparing yourself. Do you neglect yourself? Like, do you even know yourself? Are you aware of what your needs are? Are you aware of what's important to you? Are you aware of what you value? If you don't have clarity on those things, it's going to be difficult for you to create healthy environments internally and externally for yourself. So you need to know that. Do you speak negatively to yourself? I think we all do this. And I remember when my therapist was trying to train me on like negative self-talk. And I fought her on this. I was like, I don't talk to myself negatively. I wasn't aware that it was something that I was doing subconsciously. It is not, it doesn't always look like, sometimes it does. Sometimes it looks like literally saying bad things to yourself and beating yourself up. But sometimes it's just doubts that are in your head that you don't realize you're not doing something because you have this doubt. And you need to know, who put that doubt there? Where did that doubt come from? You have to start questioning your thoughts objectively. And are you surrounded by people who don't want you to be yourself? This is the part of the external environment. Like when you're thinking about caring for your plant and you're thinking about your external environment, who are the people around you? And do they not want you to be yourself? Because somebody who does not want you to be yourself, who wants you to be small and fit in a little box that they are comfortable with, is not going to be comfortable with you deciding, I want to be better. I want to be more. I want to be bigger. I want to be whatever I am. I'm not saying that you cannot grow in that kind of environment because nobody's internal and external environment is perfect. Sometimes you're going to have to push through the people and the environment that you're around and your own limiting mentality. You have to push through those things. What I am saying is that as you evaluate what is my internal environment and what is my external environment, it's just a fact that you are going to grow exponentially when you clean that up. When you have people around you who are encouraging, when you have people around you who make you feel like it's safe to be authentic, like it's safe to take risks, and who actually want your authenticity. That's the type of environment that promotes growth. And you have to have that internally for yourself. You have to realize that for yourself, that it is okay to take risks, to try something new, to venture out. Like You've got to cultivate your own internal soil, and the external soil's got to be good as well. So let's recap real quick before I give you the thing that I want to give you. We talked about the self as a plant that is your job to take care of and to nurture and to grow. We talked about two types of confidence, which is overall confidence. That's the Jay-Z confidence. Like, Jay-Z is good at many domains and was able to receive a public failure and bounce back from it with resilience. That is overall confidence, mastery over multiple domains. We talked about domain confidence, which is having self-trust within a specific domain, and that being the gateway to developing overall confidence. We talked about building confidence from scratch with a process of practicing persistently, of getting feedback persistently, and refining that process and doing it over and over and over and over again until you develop competence. And honestly, if there's anything that I want you to take away from this, that's like, just boil it down to a complete nutshell, confidence is trust in yourself. What do you have to do to be able to trust yourself and whatever it is that you need to trust yourself in? And there are so many ways that you can begin to trust yourself, and it kind of has a domino effect. One of the things for me that has had a domino effect in my life is actually dance and training. And me strength training and me dancing has nothing to do with what I'm doing right now, which is talking on Instagram Live to whoever chooses to come on off the top of my head. Like, I have an outline, I have things that I know I want to talk about, but largely I am speaking my thoughts as they enter my mind, which this is me practicing the thing that I don't feel strong in yet. But being in the gym, being in the studio, being able to see myself develop skill and strength and muscles and endurance that I didn't have before gives me a lot of faith that I can actually repeat that process in other areas like this. So now, as I'm venturing into, you know, this era of me being a coach and me being a speaker and me being an author, I am now repeating that process of starting something, allowing it to be scary, building up my skill and my stamina for it, because I saw that I did it before. I did it before. So that means I can do it again. What is that? What is that little bubble? What was that? Was that because I did this? Did somebody just thumb down me? I'm gonna have to figure that out. Like, I just saw this little thumbs down bubble pop up. Does anybody know what that's about? I feel like it was a reaction to me, but whatever. So yes, what was I saying? I was talking about me and dance and training and how it's helping me to do something that's completely and totally different, which is public speaking, because I built the trust with myself that I was able to do something difficult before. I was able to do something that I didn't think that I could do before, and now I can do it. And so I could probably do it again. So that's the crux of this, is confidence is self-trust. If you don't remember anything else, remember that.
That's all, folks. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope there are some gems that you're taking away with you. Now, if you want more free coaching from me, subscribe to the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast. You can also follow me on TikTok and Instagram for more daily tips and strategies. And if you're ready to make some changes in your life, but you feel like you need a little bit more accountability, schedule a free coaching consultation with me, and let's just see if we can vibe and maybe I can support you. But thank you again for listening to another episode of the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast, and I'll talk to you next time.